بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah in about a week we will be able to welcome Ramadan al-Kareem. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to meet Ramadan al-Kareem in a state of excellent health, excellent iman, with free time and the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use that time in order to worship Him to the best of our ability and to worship Him in a way which pleases Him Jalla Jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this month of Ramadan al-Kareem for a purpose, which He described for us. He told us this purpose, where He said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become al-muttaqoon. I remind myself and you that the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the people of taqwa. They are not merely for the people who have entered Islam. Taqwa is a state where not only have you entered Islam, but Islam has entered you and has gone into your heart and has seated itself in it. As Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said in connection with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu over and above everyone else of the Sahaba was not because he prayed more than somebody, or he prayed or he read more Quran than someone, or he fasted more than others. There were people who did more than that, more than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu did in all of these matters. Imam Malik said the reason for the superiority of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu over all the other Sahaba was because of what was seated in his heart. It was that yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It was that hub and muhabbat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was that sweetness and strength and power of iman which was in the heart of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, which raised him in status above everyone else. Afzal minal nas, afzal minal mu'mineen, ba'ad al anbiya bittaqiq. A person who has the highest status and highest station in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, over and above all human beings except the Anbiya alayhimus salam. And that is because of what settled in his heart, and that, the name of that is taqwa. My brothers and sisters, taqwa is the consciousness and the constant awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be pleased with every action of mine, with every word that I utter, with everything I look at, with everything I listen to, with every place I go to, with every activity I participate in, with every person I meet, with every relationship I have, with every transaction that I do, with every situation that I am faced with every circumstance that comes across, that I come across, with everything that I create around myself in my home and in my society, only one thing matters, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with that? This is the sign of a person of taqwa. That person is not looking for fatwas. That person is not looking to see where the boundary is, and then he is doing an act of brinkmanship where he is skating as close to the boundary as possible. This is a person who sees the boundary far away on the horizon. He doesn't go anywhere near the boundary of Allah, because that is the respect that is due to the true king, al-malikul haq, la ilaha illa huwa rabbul arshil kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the halal is clear and the haram is clear, and between the two are the mushtabihat, are the doubtful things. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who leaves those doubtful things has preserved his iman and he has preserved his honor, his izzat. And the one who indulges in the doubtful things has actually indulged in haram. Why? Because the thing was doubtful, meaning it is something that could have been a thing that incurs the displeasure of Allah. If he had left it alone, he would have chosen to please Allah. If he indulged in it, then he is by his action saying that I don't care whether Allah is pleased or not. And that action of his converts that doubtful thing into something haram, not because the hukum about the thing has changed, but the action of the person shows that this person does not have concern for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that his desire is more important to him, that he wants to eat something, drink something, act in a certain way, say something, indulge in a transaction which Allah has, which is doubtful whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it or not. The man or woman, by their action, they are saying, I don't care whether Allah likes it or not. I like it, so I am going to do it. A person who does that has indulged in haram. My brothers and sisters, this is the meaning of taqwa. Taqwa is somebody, is the sign of taqwa is ihtiyat. The sign of taqwa is to be careful with the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every king has a hima, every king has a boundary. The hima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those things that he jalla jalaluhu has prohibited. And therefore, if Allah has prohibited something, we do not go near that thing. To bring about this in our hearts, to bring our hearts to a point where you say to yourself that I don't care who likes it or not, I don't care how much I would like to do it, if it is something which is doubtful, I will not touch it. Please notice I'm not talking about haram. A person who is leaving the doubtful will automatically leave the haram. Why are we saying this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called those people who give supersedence, who give superiority to their desires over and above what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them mushrikeen. Allah said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my Habib, O my Nabi, O my Rasul, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you not seen those people who have taken their desires as their object of worship, who have taken their desires as the deity they worship, who are making their desires the object of their worship? Means what? Means it is shirk, because you are, instead of worshipping Allah, you are worshipping the desire. How does a person worship the desire? It's not that the person puts the desire in front of him and makes sujood. The fact that this person gives preference to his desire over what Allah has prohibited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, are you going to be the wakil of such people? Are you going to intercede for such people? Are you going to be the person who recommends such people or seeks forgiveness for such people? Now this question, the way of asking this question is really a prohibition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't even intercede for them. Don't seek forgiveness for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from his punishment and to save us from being among those people who give their desires superiority over the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan al-Kareem came to teach us this. Because in Ramadan, what do we do? Not only do we overcome our desires, we even overcome our halal desires. Not only do we overcome our haram desires, we overcome even the halal desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted us to eat halal things, but during the period of fasting, we are not allowed to eat them. Allah permitted us to do, to have a physical relationship with our spouses, but during the period of fasting, we stop from that and we are not allowed to do that, and we respect that boundary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted us to drink halal things, but during the period of fasting, we do not do that. Even the halal thing, we do not drink. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. Allah said so. At that time, a fasting person does not say, yeah, Allah said that, but I am really feeling very thirsty, so I think I'm going to drink. Or, you know what? I'm not even feeling so thirsty, but this thing, this sharbat, this drink is so nice. I mean, it smells so nice. It's so aromatic and so beautiful. I'm going to take a sip. No, he doesn't do that. He says, no. What Allah has ordered takes precedence. Now the point is that why is this being done? So that we understand the importance of the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. So in the sign of taqwa is therefore to leave the doubtful. As I told you, leaving the haram, of course, there cannot even be a question about that. But leaving the doubtful, it's a questionable matter. But like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who does not leave the doubtful has actually indulged in haram. We ask Allah to save us from that. That is why Ramadan al-Kareem came to remind us to become muttaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us one full month. They say that to change a habit takes 3 weeks of following that. Allah gave us a month. More than what is required for us to change our habits. Let us make sure that we change those habits. Let us make sure that we remember that one day we will meet Allah. Let us try to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a situation where Allah is pleased with us. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this month. Let us make the most of it. And then if we do that, Allah said, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the fasting is for me and I will reward it. Alhamdulillah, let us fast only and only to please Allah. And let us resolve to ensure that we change our lives where we never ever do something which is doubtful. Please understand, I'm not even talking about something which is prohibited. Sharab, alcohol is prohibited. It is haram. It is not doubtful. It is haram. Gambling on race horses, gambling in any form, on cards, gambling, card games, roulette, whatever, right? Horses, dogs, all kinds of gambling is haram. All kinds of fortune telling is haram. Vastu is haram. Feng Shui is haram. Tarot cards, haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made magic haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made interest-based dealings haram. We do all of this. May Allah forgive us. We are not even in the doubtful. We are in the clearly haram. So after this Ramadan, what must we do? We must make sure that we get out of every single one of these things. We will not drink. We will not play gambling. We will not gamble. We will not drink alcohol. We will not do drugs. We will not lie, we will not cheat, we will not fornicate, right? All that girlfriend, boyfriend business, haram. We will not deal in interest. And wherever we are doing these things, we must make tawbah and get out. That is the true benefit of Ramadan. Ramadan al-Kareem came to change our lives. Believe me, if we go through Ramadan and our life has not changed, then we have squandered it and we have wasted it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from wasting it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to benefit from this Ramadan and to be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.